12. I was hunting someplace to preach. Romans chapter 12, if you have your Bible. I really think this, and I might be wrong. My wife tells me sometimes I'm naive. I don't see things in people that ought to see in them, you know, and I am. But I can't help it. Lord, give me that new heart, you know, and I just want to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. And I really believe that people go to church. Most people that go to church are either going to find God or they're going because they love God. And I believe, of course, the majority of those that go to church love God, or they would go bowling on Wednesday night or Sunday morning, you know. But I think most people that love the Lord, they know Him, they've been saved, they want to be used of God. They want to be used of God. Since the day I was saved, since Jesus saved me that day, since I was born again, I have had a deep desire planted in my heart that I want to be used of God. I want God to use me for His glory and to help other people. Now, there are preachers, there's pastors, and I know I'm not near as dumb as I look, that some of them do it for glory or fame or money or whatever. I've never had any of that, so I don't know. But I have always wanted to do it since I was saved so that I can help other people. So I thought tonight, for those of you that come on Wednesday night, I would like to show you how to be used of God in your local church. Now, it's all right to be used of God out there on the job, and it's all right. But listen, in this dark world that we're living in, it doesn't take much light to expose people out there in that world to who you are. But now, when you get in the church, there's a lot of lights in the church, because there's everybody that's been saved has the light of God. Now, out there in that dark world, you go in a lost bunch, and they know you're saved. Automatically, they'll say, well, that's one of them, you know. But you go to church, and everybody has that light. So it's harder to serve God in the local church than it is the world. Man, I used to go preach at the jail at the York County Chain Gang. Y'all wouldn't have a clue what that was. And, boy, I'd go out there, and I'd preach, and halftime, I didn't have a clue what I was talking about. I was just preaching. But you know what? I was the only light in that room. And they thought I was something else, man. Let that guy preach. They didn't know I was ignorant. You know. And I'd go preach at the Army Reserve. Those guys, you know, they got a hangover. They really don't want to be in there, but it keeps them from doing chores that morning if they'll come to chapel. And they're sitting in there, and I'm just preaching my heart out, and I'm misquoting verses, and I'm messing up the songs I'm leading. But to them, they said, wow, what a preacher. Because, see, I was the only light in there, Brother Billy. Boy, you go around on a bus route, you go to people's houses, you pick up these little old kids, you know, and they're not in Christian homes, and you go up there, and just driving the bus, they think you're the greatest preacher on planet Earth. You're the greatest loving Christian they've ever met in their life, because you're the only light in there, see. But then you come to church, and church is full of lights. You're a light. Everybody in here that knows Jesus Christ in their heart has the light of God shining. Can I get amen? That's why Jesus said you don't hide it under a bushel. See, we have that light now. So, how to be used of God in your local church when everyone has what you have? Salvation. Everybody that's asked Jesus to save them has that eternal light now. So how do you get to be used of God in your local church? Now, look at Romans chapter 12. We'll just read the first 8 verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He said, now that's just what you ought to do. That's a reasonable thing to do. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, don't be like everybody else. Don't conform to the way everybody else dresses, the way everybody else acts and talks and habits and hobbies and all that stuff. He said, but be transformed. Turn into something that you are not naturally. transformation. And he says, by the renewing of your mind, of course we know that's through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, when you get your mind like that, when you get your mind right, it changes your life, and your life shows that it is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for people to be like that. Now, some people think, they think that we're fanatics. But other people look at us and say, now, that's what a Christian's supposed to be. See. Now, you come in the local church, you've got to go a step up if you're going to serve God. Now, I've been in churches where they would let the dog preach. I've been in churches where they would let the cat teach Sunday school. They didn't care. As long as somebody was standing in a spot, taking up some time between songs. That's about it. But if you're going to serve God in a real local church, you've got the light that everybody else has. You're going to have to do a little bit more than that. But because what good is it to transfer what I know to you if you already know what I know? What good is it to transfer the way I'm living to get you to live that way if everybody's already living that way? You're already living that way. Do you see what I'm saying? It's a little more when you're going to serve God. It's a little more. That's why I don't wear flip-flops to church. That's why you're not going to catch me in a Hawaiian shirt at church. I ain't got nothing against a Hawaiian shirt. I got one in the closet. But you ain't preaching. But you ought to seen what he had on before he put that on. It was nasty. But here's what I'm saying. The pastor, the preacher, the teacher, the deacon, the music director, those that sing in the choir, those that teach Sunday school, there ought to be a little bit more there. Would you agree with me? How would you like to go to school if all your teachers knew exactly what you already know and they didn't know any more than you do? No, you wouldn't want to do that. How would you like to go to church where the preacher preached, the pastor preached, the evangelist preached, or whatever, and they didn't know any more than you do, maybe less? Y'all still with me? And don't sit there and look at me like I'm him. I ain't. I done forgot more than I know, Brother Billy. So, here's what he's saying. If you're going to serve God in your local church, number one, you're going to have a presentation of God, and it's going to have to be a sacrifice. God doesn't want our junk, okay? God doesn't want your junk. Amen. When David went to make an offering to the Lord on that threshing floor, he told that man, he said, I'm going to buy it from you. He said, no, you're not going to buy it. You're not going to buy it from me. I'm going to give it to you. And David said, I'm not going to give the Lord anything that didn't cost me something. It ought to cost you something to serve God. It cost his son everything. God gave his son so he could. Now, it takes a sacrificial presentation of yourself. He said, present your what? Not your idea of what a Christian is, not what your thoughts of a Christian is, but he said, present your, what did he say again? Body. Talk to me. Body. He said, present your body. Now, you've got to do that. And God, listen, God is not going to make you do it. It's got to be sacrificial. Got to be sacrificial. You know why a lot of folks don't get, and now y'all know me, I don't preach a lot on money. I don't say much about money. I've never had much and don't have much right now. But I've never said much about money. But you want to know why a lot of people, good Christian people that try to live for God, but financially they always struggle? It's because they never give God back more than he gave them. Well, I give my 10% if I can make my house payment. I give my 10% if the car payment ain't due. I give my... and then some people say, well, I do my duty. I give my 10%. Well, he'll do his duty to you too then. He'll give you what you need. But sometimes it takes a sacrifice. Now, it's not that God doesn't know your heart. It's not that God doesn't know who you are, where you're at. But sometimes it takes a sacrifice for God to prove to you that you can do better. See? He don't need our money. He owns all the gold in the hills, man. What does he need your money for? Our little old $20, $30, $50, $100, that ain't nothing to God. That ain't nothing to God. Amen. Now, I tell you all that story about that millionaire that called me that time and said, can y'all use $10,000 in your building fund? I almost passed out. But you know what? $10,000 was nothing to that man. I was on a list of churches that he was giving $10,000 to each church, and he done waited too long, and now he's doing his taxes, and they're overdue, and he was looking for something to write money off for so he could get out of paying some taxes. So he called up 10 churches and gave each one of them $10,000, and he said, will you post-date that receipt? I said, sure, I don't care what Uncle Sam thinks about. We need a building, man, big deal. He said, it was in my heart to do it, and I just didn't get around to it. I said, I'll take your word for it, amen. Receipt didn't mean nothing to me anyway. Didn't mean nothing to God. But do you see what I'm saying? $10,000 didn't mean anything to him. It meant nothing to him. That'd be like a dollar to you or me. Amen. So, present your body as a living sacrifice. Now, Ron, he's already got your body. Amen. When he saved you, he got you lock, stock, and barrel. It's not like he hadn't already got your body. But now he's saying, I want more. If you're going to serve me, I want more than what you're giving. Amen? It's a sacrificial presentation. And then I want you to notice this. When you do that, it'll create, that verse right there says, don't be conformed, but be transformed. It'll create a transformation when you do that. You know what that means? It'll change your mind. You'll look at things differently and think differently. When you begin to sacrifice, you'll begin to think about things differently. Now, what's going to happen, though, when you start sacrificially giving yourself, that means I don't have to work overtime. I can work down at the church. I don't have to go bowling with the boys. I can go on visitation. I can spend more time in prayer. I can spend more time in Bible study. I can do a better job in my Sunday school. I can do a better job with the choir. Do y'all see what I'm saying? And then once you do that, you lay it on the altar, you say, Lord, I ain't much, but here I am. Take my body. Then He does. You don't have to do it. I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. God transforms your mind. God will transform your mind. Now, if you want to serve God in the local church, you're going to have to do that. So what that means, that's a miraculous change, and it happens from the inside out. You remember when you first got saved, there was a miraculous change, and it went from the inside out, and people looked at you and said, what's done happened to you? You don't sound the same. There's something different about it. I can't put my finger on it. You quit cussing, didn't you? And you smile and say, amen. I did. Hallelujah. you didn't really know how to explain it, but you were different from the inside out. It's not that you said outside would say, I started going to church. That's outside in, see. Or you would say, I got baptized. That's outside in, see. Whenever you surrender your body, a living sacrifice, you say, God, whether I live or I die or you let me get cancer or you let me live to be 115 years old, here I am, Lord. It's not mine anymore. It's all yours. I'm not going to do my will. I'm going to do your will, and I'm going to seek your will above everything else. Then from the inside out, things start happening. And now all of a sudden, it ain't sacrifice no more. He changes your mind so you don't look at it as a sacrifice. You go to church every service. How do you do that? How do you not do that? Are you giving that preacher all your money? How do you do that? By the way, I don't know who gives what. I don't see the records and I don't want to see them. I wouldn't want to think less of anybody. I can't believe you go there every time the door's open and you ain't got a Bible at work. And see, you've not even thought about it. It just happened. Because you surrendered and said, here I am, Lord. And now you're teaching Sunday school. I remember when you had the dirtiest jokes at work. And you'd forgot you even had them. And the pastor didn't have to corner you somewhere and threaten you to get you to teach Sunday school. You wanted to teach Sunday school all of a sudden. Y'all still with me? You ain't mad at me, are you? Get transformed, you won't be mad at me. Amen? There's two answers to every question when I preach a sermon. It's either amen or oh me. Just lay it out there. Amen? Preacher asked me one time, said, how do you get people to say amen in your sermons all the time? You get people to talk back to you. I say, I tell them to. I say, ain't that right? Amen? And they'll say, that's right. Amen. So, but what you got to do, now you got to consider this. Now, if you're going to have a presentation and you're going to have a transformation, you better sit down and think about it first. You better consider what you're fixing to do. God doesn't look much on covenant breakers. He don't think much of covenant breakers. I struggled with preaching for about a year before I finally surrendered. And I didn't even know what a preacher was, but I knew whatever I did, now that I'm saved, whatever I was going to do, I better want to do it with all my might, because I didn't think God took secondhand anything. And by the way, you can't build a church on spare time and pocket change. Just write that down somewhere. That's astounding I said that, ain't it? He wants it all. He wants it all. BJ, when he saved me, he got everything. I didn't have much, but he got everything. And listen, it belongs to him from now through eternity. There's no going back. There's no going back. When I went to teach Sunday school, the first Sunday school class I had, now I had a Sunday night, what they used to call that Sunday night stuff we used to do in the Southern Baptist Church? No, that's women's stuff. Training union. Baptist training union? I thought you was talking about BWU or something. Training union. And they would supposedly teach us how to teach. They handed me and my wife a book and said, here, y'all got the third and fourth graders. Were the third and fourth graders going to teach me? I just started going to Sunday school. And I went in there and had three burgesses in there. Man, you're talking about, we wasn't in hell, but we was right close to it. I'm telling you. Listen, those boys were bad. They were bad. But my first Sunday school class, I went to Bible college, came back, and my pastor said, now you have middle-aged adults in Sunday school. I said, middle-aged? I said, I'm 26 years old. Might have been 25. I said, I'm 25 years old. I can't teach middle-aged adults. These people have been in church all their life, been saved all their life, been reading the book. He said, they don't know nothing. That's what he said. They don't know nothing. He said, just go in there and teach them the Bible. Teach them whatever they're teaching up there at that Bible college, and you'll astound these people. And I didn't go at it lightly. I started praying. I got real nervous. And I said, Lord, I want to do this right. I don't want to do it halfway. I want to do it right. I want to do it right. And I prayed and prayed and studied and studied. And I went in there, studied enough that I should have been teaching a graduate course at the Bible college. I was so studied up, man. And I went there, and those people sit there and went, they didn't even know what I was talking about. But if you're going to do something for God, you better consider what you do before you do it. And there's too many people in the local church that jump in and out of stuff when they say they're serving God. Well, you know, I can't teach them little old kids no more. I got a bunion. Well, cut your stinking toe off and go back in there and teach. That's the way I feel about it. You don't know what I've went through preaching and teaching. Amen? You better consider what you're doing. Now, here's what you think about it while you're giving an estimation. You want some enlightenment. If you're going to do something for God, don't you want some enlightenment? Enlightenment means getting in the light, turning on the light, let me see what's going on. And if you're going to do something for God in a local church, you need some enlightenment. You need to call on the Holy Spirit, and you need to ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate your mind on what you're about to do. Amen? Whether it's deacon or Sunday school teacher or leading the singing or the choir or preaching or whatever it is, you better get some enlightenment. Don't just say, well, I've learned enough, I can share what I got. No, sir, there's somebody there smarter than you every time. You need to get some more. And then you need to get some enjoyment. If you're going to sacrifice your body, living sacrifice, you're going to be transformed. You're going to leave that confirmation stuff, and you're going to be transformed, and you're going to serve God. You need to get a little joy. Nobody want to listen to you or follow you if you're running around with the poochy lip all the time. Well, you know, it's hard to be a Christian. It's so hard. Oh, we struggle and we... Shut up. Shut up. Where's the joy of the Lord? Amen? Where's the joy of the Lord? Well, I can go and preach in any church, everywhere I've ever went, and have them do just what I just had you do, and I can leave there, and they tell me, they'll say, that's the first time my teenager ever listened to preaching. Because it's all a little joy. They done seen enough pickled pussies telling them what they can't do. If you're going to serve God in a local church, you get you some enlightenment, then you get you some enjoyment, and enjoy what you're doing. I don't know anything I'd like to do better than this. Amen. The Burgess has drugged me down the Catawba River, tell me how much fun it's going to be floating on the inner tube in the hot sun in June. Tell me how much fun it's going to be. Now, he's out tonight because he's all blistered up, and I'm over here having a good time with the joy of the Lord. Amen. Amen. If you don't enjoy doing it, you better not volunteer, because I'll guarantee you. No, hey, you ain't never been tested till some little old six-year-old tested you. What was it, camp one year, and I had the worst cabin. That chain gang cabin had grown so big. And we were sitting up on the bank one day, and I looked at this little boy. It couldn't be no more than maybe eight. Little spoiled brat. I mean, child. And I told him to do something. He looked at me and said, no. I said, what did you say? He said, no. I said, sit right there till I get up and get over there. And I struggled up. I got up. I was sitting on an old hill like that. And I struggled up, and I went for him. And when I grabbed him, the boy beside said, let him go. So I grabbed him too. And I drug him up that hill, and I got him up there away from everybody else. And I was shaking. I said, boy, you better be glad God saved me when he did, or you'd be dead right now. And then I come to my senses and I thought, you can't kill him. You can't even beat him. So I looked at my wife and said, get over here. You brought him from your school. Get over here. But they'll test you, buddy. You start serving God, you'll get tested. So you better go ahead and get all packed up with some good joy, because there's enough people running around here who wants to knock your joy out. Oh, yeah, but they can't stand to see somebody happy in the Lord. Amen. I don't know who's been messing with you as big as you are. Then you need to get you a little encouragement. You need to get some encouragement. You need to go places, read things, listen to things, be around people that encourage you. You don't need to get around that crowd and say, well, I don't know why you go down at that church. Get away from them people. Leave them alone. I don't know why you want to be around. Watch TV programs. You can't watch most of them now. Watch TV. I saw an advertisement for one yesterday, day before, named a preacher. And he's a drunk and fighting demons or something. I don't know what it is, but I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to watch anything that'll discourage me, Brother Billy. I grew up in enough discouragement. I've lived through that hell, man. I don't need that stuff. I'm going to find me somebody that will encourage me. I don't go to these discouraging preachers. I don't go to them. One of them got up in my church one time and he said, "Well, there ain't nobody right with God." Whew. He said that. In the pulpit. He said, everybody's a backslider. Ain't nobody right with God. He said, sometimes I just feel like taking a gun and blowing my brains out. I let him preach 15 minutes. I stood up. I said, "Well, that's all the time you got, brother." And I patted his back and pushed him toward. I said, "Let me tell you something." I said, "There's some people here tonight that's right with God." I said, "They love Jesus. They love their family. They work for a living. They do right. And they don't feel like blowing their brains out. It ain't them." Amen? You need to get around people that will encourage you. And then, look, if you're going to do something for God in a local church, you need to get enablement. People will pop up and say they're preachers and teachers. They've never studied a lesson. They've never got behind somebody else to teach them. They've never read a book. They've never done anything. And all of a sudden, they know more than all their preachers and all their teachers. And they stand up and they start talking, and you don't have a clue. You need to get some enablement. You need to get around people that will teach you. I tell y'all all the time, I'm not even the smartest one in this room. I'm not. I'm not even the most spiritual one in this room. I'm not. But I get up real close to those that are, because that rubs off on me. And I listen to preachers that will encourage me and inspire me and challenge me. I'm not talking about Pretty Boy Olson now. I'm not talking about that crowd. I'm talking about some real old-fashioned leather-lung preachers. Amen? Amen. You need to get that. If you're going to serve God in a local church, you don't just get up one day and say, "Well, I think I'm going to be a deacon one day." I wouldn't have you. You wouldn't be a deacon in my church. No, sir. No, sir. "Well, I'm going to be a preacher one day." You won't stand behind this pulpit. First, you need to present your bodies a living sacrifice. That will transform your mind, and you'll quit conforming to worldly ways, and then you'll start, hey, listen, your attitude, your face, everything will change once you surrender your body to the Lord as a living sacrifice. And then you know what's going to happen? Look at verse 4 and 5 real quick. Y'all didn't preach me too long. "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." Stop right there. "Well, you know, preacher, I think you'll do it this way." "Well, you know, pastor, I don't think you should have said that." Why don't you go do what he put you in the body to do and leave me alone, let me do what he told me to do? Besides that, I think I have the most experience in here. And I never went down to Billy's and told him how to do radiators. He'd have got killed if he'd followed my instructions. Amen. I wouldn't go over at Rudy's and tell him how to wire up a panel. They'd all burn. Amen. Listen, he put different people in the body for different purposes. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And I didn't choose this. He chose me. And I'm doing, and I've done it since the day he called me. And I've been faithful at it. I'm not the best. I'm not the brightest. But I can be faithful. Why don't you do that? You say, "Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do." Look at verse 6. "Having then gifts different according to the grace that's given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy." Underline, "let us." That means get at it. "Let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us." Underline, "let us." Get at it. Let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth, or on teaching, or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him give it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Love with, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one toward another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful. Underline not slothful. Slothful. You ever seen a sloth? Baptist. Belongs to a Baptist church. Lazy rascal. We've got different gifts, same body. Now, his preacher, I know all that. How'd I get started? Okay, let me tell you this secret. It's real complicated. Let me tell you the secret, okay? How do I get started? Well, you present your body, a living sacrifice. You lay it down there. You say, God, here I am. Use me, send me, whatever. And then when God tells you what to do, get at it. Well, preacher, I believe God has called me to support this church financially, and as soon as I get everything straightened out and I win that lottery, I'm going to give. Shut up. If you're going to do it, get at it. Quit making excuses. Don't do it tomorrow. Do it today. Amen. Well, preacher, what's these spiritual gifts? Now, I'm going to make these simple because the charismatics have messed up a lot of these. Real quick, listen, 2 minutes. Prophecy, that's declaring truth. Prophecy. In the Old Testament, prophecy was foretelling the future. In the New Testament, prophecy is forthtelling, telling what has already happened, sharing the truth of God's Word. That's prophecy. Get at it. A declaring truth. That when you prophesy, that moves people to do something. And then the ministry, that's service. That's meeting spiritual needs of other people. Some of you have gift, this spiritual gift of helping other people. And I'm going to give her flowers while she hears it. Miss Hazel's got it. She's got it. She has the gift of ministry. She ministers to people. There's a fellow in this town. He can't preach fuzz off a peach, poor little old fella, but he's got the gift of ministry. He goes around getting people refrigerators and dry cleaners and washing machines. He can't preach. I ain't never told him that. I'm not going to tell him. He thinks some of y'all know who I'm talking about. And he runs out, he takes people to the doctor's office, and he raises money to pay for their bills and all that stuff. And I'm thinking, glory to God, he's a better Christian than I am. But that's his gift. And some of you have that same gift. You just ain't using it. And then teaching, that's just teaching is explaining, clarifying a truth. That's all that is. Some of y'all can do that. You do it every day. You raise youngins. You can teach Sunday school if you're right with God. Amen? Boy, didn't many women say amen on that. Exhortation. You know what exhortation is? That stimulates people to love Jesus and love others. Exhortation is saying, that's right. What the preacher's saying, right. What the Bible's saying, right. Ron, you need to do it. You need to do it. That's exhortation. It's not spooky stuff. You present your body, a living sacrifice. He changes your mind. He transforms your mind. That comes from within and goes out. That transforms the way you look and you walk and you talk and your habits and your hobbies. And then God gives you a spiritual gift. And then once you get that spiritual gift, you get busy. And the busier you get and the more you practice it, the better you get at it. Giving. Ooh, that's what he said. Giving. Giving. There's a ministry of giving. There's some people. Now listen to me. I know everybody can't teach Sunday school. I know that. You know that. I know everybody can't preach. You know that. I know that. I know everybody cannot be a deacon. We know that. I know everybody can't lead a choir. Everybody can't even sing in the choir. They try to make me feel better and ask me to come up, but I know I can't sing in the choir. My timing's too bad. Everybody can't do that. But did you know there's somebody that for some reason they may not have children. Their children may be grown, or they may have just have a lot of money laying around. And God may use them just to give to the local church and take care of the needs of the church. What Jesus say about that little widow woman there at the temple? She came by and they were throwing in all their gold and silver, you know, and just walking away so proud. And he said, "There's the greatest one right there. She threw in a half penny." And he said, "She gave more than all of the rest of those people put together, because she gave all she had." That's the gift of giving, see. And there's a gift of ruling, or I forget the word he used, but what that means is putting things together, coordinating things. Now, my wife tell you right quick, I see a big picture. I see a big picture. But the details, I mess them up. I just can't put details together, Brother Rick. Did you know I can take a transmission out and put a transmission in, but I can't put a transmission together? I can do the big picture. Look, there's some things that in the local church that... now, some of y'all don't know it, and my wife keeps the books of this church. Not so I will know. I don't know what's in those books, and I don't ask. I expect leaders in church to tithe and give a little more. If they don't, I tell her, I say, "You tell me if they're not doing it so I can go talk to them, because they're supposed to be representing." And but I don't know. But my wife, every little detail, she'll sit in there at the table sometime trying to do the books, and I hear her grunting and groaning and squirming around. I said, "What is wrong with you?" She says, "I've lost a dime somewhere in this list of money. I'm a dime over, or I'm a dime under." And boy, it just kills her that she doesn't have all that stuff together, because that's what she's good at. She's good at that. I'm not. But some of you are. Some ladies will say, "Preacher, can I decorate?" And I go, "Well," and on the inside I'm going, "Glory to God, hallelujah!" Amen. I can't administrate. I can preach. I can't line things up. And then last but not least, some mercy. Did you know some people have to give for mercy? I think I do. I believe I do. I hope I do. I feel sorry for people. I can't even watch some TV programs. I'll cry so hard. Especially if it's got kids or puppy dogs in it. You know, I just cry. I'll sit there crying. My wife's over there, or doing something else, you know, while she's watching. I'm sitting there, "Oh God, did you not see that?" I'll see some little dirty, these kids in this neighborhood, I see them, they're all dirty and ragged, you know, and I'll go see them. And I can't talk to them much because I'll start crying in front of them. And some of you have that. Why don't you present your body a living sacrifice, get your mind transformed, let Him transform your body, your mind, your soul, and your spirit, so that God can use that gift He's already put in you, mercy. And then finally get it settled, and I quit. Look at verse 2 again. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now listen. Why don't you finally just get it settled once and for all? And let God confirm what He's already told you anyway. You know, God's already told some of y'all what to do. But you've not got it settled in yourself. So therefore, you've never presented your body on the altar of sacrifice. Said, "Here I am, Lord, I'm not much, but use me, send me." You've never surrendered because you've never got it settled. But once you do that, once you get it settled and you surrender it, then God will confirm it. You see, right now you kind of feel like it. Or maybe. But once you get it settled and you bow those knees and you offer this piece of flesh that we're made out of, offer it on the altar of God, then all of a sudden you'll get the peace that passes understanding to come over you and say, that's just all I've been wanting you to do right there. I'm going to take care of it. I just wanted you to ask. And he'll give you the confirmation. You remember when you got saved that day? And you knew you needed to be saved. And you avoided it, and you avoided it because you thought, well, I can't hold out, I can't hang on, I won't be able to live it, or whatever. And then you got saved that day. And once you finally got that prayer out, that peace came over you. And what that was, God, the Holy Spirit said, okay, now that's settled, let's go on. I told you I struggled with preaching for that whole year. I struggled. And finally, I went down that day, and I didn't even know what a preacher was, and I didn't know what I was going to do, and I didn't know how I was going to do it. And I had a wife and kids, and they told me I had to quit my job and go to Bible college, and they told me this, told me that. And I thought, God, I can't do all that. But finally, I just couldn't stand it anymore. And I went down there, and I offered my body. I said, here I am, Lord, send me. Whatever it takes, I'll do it. Let's just do it. And I got the confirmation that day, and I've never doubted my calling since that day. Amen. I'm sure there's others doubt. I'm not doubting. Now you can do that. And then you can be used in the local church. You can be used. Now everybody's not going to do that. And everybody's not going to be used. Because God can't use people that's not fully surrendered. But you're going to be the minister to those people once you start doing what He's called you to do. Just let Him change your mind about it. He'll take that mind and just turn it right around. I used to say, well, I won't hold out. Now I say, that ain't up to me. Some of y'all got talents we don't even know about. Just need surrender. That's all you got to do. You say, preacher, it's awful simple. That's how those that live by faith live. Simple. By faith. By faith. Offer it, Brother Rick. And I think you probably have already done it. By faith, you just offer that body and you say, here I am, Lord. I ain't much, but if I get up from here and I fail from here on, it's going to be trusting you for what you've called me to. He won't let you fail. See, now your mind's going to turn. Everything else is going to change. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you.